Welcome to episode 3 of our weekly podcast at bleedgeek.com. I'm Randy Orvis.
I'm Mike Girl.
I'm Patrick McGivern.
I have to stop listening.
This week, I feel like every week is going to be eventful because we are all pretty much nerds at this point.
From birth. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. So this week, kind of our bigger stories are Apple's WWDC convention over in San Francisco, the E3
in LA.
And
all things D kind of wrapped up, but I think we covered most of that last week.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got, so we're going to be talking about Apple, couple
Apple.
Things.
Apple.
Probably talking a lot about freaking Apple.
iClouds.
And maybe talk about some, what happened at E3, and then maybe, and then we'll talk about, talk about IPv6 day.
Which was yesterday?
Would have been yesterday, yep.
Interesting. Yesterday was also National Jelly Donut Day. In case you were wondering.
Wow, sharing the same day.
Yeah. All
right. Like JFK, right?
Pretty much.
I am a jelly donut.
All right, so I guess we'll just kick it off with the... Should we kick it off with WWDC? I feel like that'll kind of be the bigger one of the... I was tweeting...
Definitely.
Mike was tweeting about WWDC on... it was Monday.
Tuesday.
Was it
no, it was Monday,
It
right.
was Monday. And I was tweeting, or I was doing Facebook and tweeting about E3, and, because I didn't really care about the WWDC, and we got some complaints on Facebook, I know, about people.
WWDC is a Worldwide Developers Conference.
Yeah, we got some complaints on our Facebook because we were blowing up the pages because of all of the updates. But there was so much stuff happening between both WWDC and E3 that, you know what? You want to be our friends on Facebook? Deal with it. Because it was exciting.
Well,
for nerds.
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
All right, I'll pass it off to you then. You guys are the Crapple lovers.
This guy.
That's okay. We can just band together against him.
Two against one. We're a democracy.
Yeah.
So WWDC kicked off Monday morning. They announced OS X Lion, the new software for Apple Mac. It's coming out in July, which will only be $29.99. And they're only going to sell it on the Mac App Store, so...
Yeah, kind of pushing the Mac App Store.
Which?
Yeah, it's $29.99 if you already have Snow Leopard. So if
right.
you don't have Snow Leopard, then you need to get the other $30, $29.99 update to get you up
right.
to speed, and then you can get Lion.
$60 if you're hanging out with just regular Leopard still, but that's still a decent price. I mean, compared to what I think most people charge for new software, even upgrades. By most people, obviously mean Windows, but no, I mean, and I know that Apple used to charge more too, but we talked a lot about the features that we thought were going to be in it. Most of them had already been announced last week, so I don't think we need to spend too much time with that. Overall, it's a lot of nice changes, but I'm excited for it nonetheless and glad it's coming out soon and not later. Like iOS.
Yes, it's released. Is it July?
They said it'll be available in July. Yeah.
July. Okay. So yeah. So I mean, in Lion, you can expect new like multi-touch gestures, allowing you to just scroll in Safari, do some swiping. Three-finger swiping?
Yep.
If you're going in between full screen apps,
which is another thing they're pushing. AirDrop, which will be a nice peer-to-peer network for sharing files for people with Lion though only. I believe is a limitation there.
Yep.
I think it's Lion to Lion, but still, once it catches on, I mean,
no Lion to Snow Leopard. We're sorry,
but I think that most people that have an Apple, if they already have, I mean, $30 isn't that much, and in my opinion, I guess, especially for software, but
right,
that's just me, maybe.
I mean, yeah, it gives you some good features. Launchpad was kind of the meshing between like the iOS environment and then also them incorporating some kind of feature that looks more like what you would see on an iPad or an iPhone or on a iPod Touch. And then also Mission Control, which was the new kind of workspace take on, you know, Mac's take on workspace.
A combination between what their current expose and spaces that they use now is kind of what Mission Control is going to be. It's kind of like a combination of that and the widgets that they already have set up in Leopard and Snow Leopard both. I think it's just taking that to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, overall, I think it all, like, I'm excited for it as a Mac user, personally, but
I don't know, when after I saw the video, I was considering maybe, like, a MacBook Pro, like, entry, maybe, like, an entry, like, a 13-inch or something.
Yeah, I mean,
it's very appealing. I mean, considering that the App Store is right there, and you no longer have no need to go to a store and get in your car and buy a CD, or, I mean, obviously we've probably grown from that day where we'd go and get StarCraft in a box, go home,
and put it in a CD drive.
Unless, did you get StarCraft 2 in a box?
I went to the midnight release.
Do you get everything in a box?
I suppose midnight releases are...
I've got the collector's edition, actually. So,
but then you're looking for
midnight
a cool
releases
box.
Would be more anticlimactic with an App Store.
Well,
but
yeah, no. I still am not a firm believer in the whole App Store thing.
I mean,
it makes sense to me for smaller stuff, but when it comes to like a big app, like, you know, if I'm looking to do Office, I don't want to get it from an App Store because I'm going to have to download it.
And Microsoft Office actually isn't available in the Mac App Store, but it is available in the Amazon Mac Download Store.
Go Amazon. So is that their little kind of jab
at
Apple?
Yep. Well, they do the same thing with Android too. I mean, they have their Android Amazon Store, which they sell, and I think they have some exclusives there.
Right.
Like when they did Plants for Zombies.
Is that Microsoft's dig at Apple saying, haha, you can't get it in your guys' app store, but you can go to Amazon.
I would think that regardless that Microsoft would want to put it to the place they could sell the most. I think, you know, you actually have to go to the Amazon store where...
Yeah. Plus, I guess...
The app store is built into your computer when you get it at this point. It's in your software. You can't...
Right, and I picture Office sort of as a, Microsoft owns it, but it's its own thing still.
I almost think that Apple probably is deliberately leaving it off because they sell their own version, Pages, Numbers, and Keynote.
Yeah.
So I would assume that maybe they do it on purpose to try to, plus they sell theirs for $15
or
$10 each, whereas.
I don't know, I think that's a fighting the uphill battle, because.
I totally agree. But on the other hand, it's all compatible with the Microsoft Office group.
Oh, so you can open .doc and all that stuff. Oh, fair enough.
So, I mean, I think it doesn't really... And they're cheap. Like I said, they're like $15, I think. I mean, I have Windows Office for Mac. I don't have Pages. I have it on my iPad and my phone now because they just released it. But neither here nor there.
True. Interesting.
Yeah, I was going to kind of go back to like the whole... limitation with having an app store, like the bigger downloads. Like, I wouldn't expect that someone, if they got a full version of Final Cut, which would require it comes in like 5 DVDs,
right?
Like, I mean, that's like a 50 gig install if you've ever done that, and that's hours. Like, I wouldn't expect someone to download, you know, 50 gigs. I mean, especially with caps being implemented now,
yeah,
you know, that's a good portion of your monthly bandwidth going away just for one piece of software.
I mean, it's taking me forever to upload my music as it is to Google Cloud. So.
Yeah.
Have you got your invitation yet?
I have not gotten my invitation yet. that's okay because...
I just got his the other day.
Did he?
He announced it like 2 days ago.
No.
You're saying that's okay because... Because you're going to wait till September for iCloud?
iCloud.
Are we going straight to that now?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, no. iCloud... Right. Yeah. I'm excited about iCloud because it took away a lot of like the anxiety when you buy something on... Like, either on the iTunes Music Store or on their App Store, it you have it, you can, you don't need to really keep it on like one computer or something, or have like a backup. You always have access to it again.
I think by far the best feature is not needing a backup. Being able to re-download old purchases is by far, I think, the best thing that they are offering. I mean, the rest of it, the music match, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, and like everything else, I think is good. But I think the best part already, I've used because if you have iTunes 10.3.3 and I know iOS 4.3.3, I bet it's just iTunes 10.3. But if you have both of those, you can use the beta of the iCloud now to re-download your apps and your music. You can see all the purchases you've ever made, which was interesting to know that I've purchased almost 500 songs from iTunes.
That's crazy. I had about, I think, but, 226 is what
I
purchased.
Yeah, I was surprised by
probably
my number.
I have like 20.
But
you will be more beneficial on the matching side of things.
I'm at Apple hit the thing that I wanted them to hit with iCloud, which was Google. Props to them for being first. No lies.
Well,
and it's a
Amazon was first, really.
Well, okay, but for 20,000 songs,
right? I mean,
jumping out there and saying you guys can all upload 20,000 songs. That's awesome. I, as of last week, stopped uploading music to them because it takes too long. I don't want to have to let my computer sit on. I mean, it would have to be on continuously for probably a solid month.
Yeah, I'm still working on mine. I'm approaching my halfway mark, mind you, as I've been doing this for 2 weeks now.
Yeah, so you've totally skyrocketed past me. But, like, I mean, what I had hoped Apple would do or Google would have done is not make me upload my music, but link me to said music songs. But the thing I dislike thus far about the iCloud is it dumbs down my music. So if I would say 75% of my music is 320 and they turn it down to 256, which people say they can't hear the difference, but I still to this day can hear the difference between the two.
Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I think part of it is, first of all, let's take Pat, for example, who has a 2 gigabyte limit on his phone a month at this point. Well, you know, per AT&T, right. That's where his marker is, where if he goes over, he gets charged more. I think having the smaller version of the music is a little more beneficial, because I think more often than not, that people are going to be downloading it to a mobile device like an iPhone or an iPad, not so much downloading it to your computer, which I understand wanting higher quality music on your computer, especially if that's where you listen to most of it, which I would think you do. I guess you'd probably use it at work.
I use it at work.
I guess there it would be nice to be able to download it too, but I think the main aim of this is toward the mobile industry,
right.
And I think that with the caps that people have for their data plans and the speed of it, because the main thing that you have to note is Google and Amazon both stream the music to you. With iCloud, you will have to download it and listen to it, not stream it to yourself.
I think so, you can preview. I think it's like you still get the 30-second or whatever previews.
I didn't know that. So it's actually downloading.
Yep, you have to download every song.
So does it download it and keep it there, or does it do
And the other thing that will be new in iOS 5, which we'll talk about shortly, is as odd as it is, before you cannot delete music off of your iPod unless you hook it up to your computer
to sync it.
But in iOS 5 that'll be different. You'll be able to delete things, which I think will change things, because you're like, man, I've been really listening to this for a while, I want to download this, have this whole art, all the artist tracks, let's say the Foo Fighters, I want all the Foo Fighters music on my phone this month, that's what I've been listening to. Then you kind of get out of it, you only want maybe their most recent stuff, so you delete everything else and you can move on to your brand new when they someday hopefully soon put out a new CD.
That'll be a good future topic then, to talk about the hash hacking.
Yeah, get in the middle of the whole.
But I think that.
Whatever.
Right.
Save that for later.
But yeah, and then they announced that, you know, they will be launching this fall potentially, and I saw that it won't be launching in the UK till 2012 earlier. Just a little bit ago, I saw a blip.
It's because they don't like the Russians.
Yeah. But
so what if there was a Cold War?
But for $25, they are going to... $25 a year, which I mean, isn't that much. I mean, if you go to two
that's
months.
That's for the music match?
Yeah. That's like $2 a month.
Well, you need it, what, once? Because after that, once you start importing albums into iTunes, it's...
But you won't have access to it, I think, if you don't keep your subscription renewed.
So if you...
It's
so
a
if
yearly
it's,
fee.
Right. So I'm saying, like...
You'll still always be able to get your purchased music regardless, but the music you match would disappear. Or you wouldn't have access to it if you didn't pay.
Now yeah. That's some crap. So why? So that seems silly, because there was an app I had, and I'm blanking what the name of it is. Steven had told me about it, and it was a add-on basically for iTunes that would...
Tune up.
Yeah, that... You know, you could do your first, say, 100 songs for free, and then after that, you pay, like, $20 a month or something, which it, for me, it was $20 as a one-time fee, because I cleaned up all of my music, and ever since then, I've been fine. But why wouldn't somebody just do that and then upload it to iCloud? Because then you would have all of your music. It's got all of its album art, all of its band names, all of its song names. Or am I missing something?
You'll scan whatever you scan, and everything's there. And it'll always be there. I'm just saying that if you don't pay your $25 every year, like if you stopped paying it, that you then wouldn't have access to it until you paid a year from now. You pay once.
Right, but I'm, like, so Music Match is for songs that don't have, like, they don't have, like, in their service or what am I missing about Music Match?
Music Match is the CDs or it's the music that you've collected that you didn't buy from Apple.
Everything that's in your iTunes that you've either
ripped or
downloaded from another site.
Wow!
In quotations,
freaking bastards. That's even more ridiculous, because I thought it was Music Match was similar to TuneUp, where it would, you know, I have a bunch of unknown artists, it's going to go, oh, we'll try finding a match for you, this is it, and we'll link it, and then we just link you to...
And the stuff that they don't have that's in your library, let's say I know a guy in a band, let's say Pat and Travis are in a band, and they made a song, and I had it on a CD, obviously it's not on iTunes.
Delete.
Rest of the stuff that they don't have, you can upload.
Right, yeah, I heard whatever they basically they don't have.
But they have 18 million songs, so for
See,
the most
and,
part.
And that was another thing I thought was interesting, was they said, yeah, if we don't have it, we'll upload it for you. Which, I'm reading that as, okay, chances are, if Mike has it, I will eventually get it from him. So I'm going to put it in mine, so now I'm linking to your copy?
You would still...
Or does Apple, like,
actually,
take
I don't
ownership
think it was
of
clear.
It?
I don't think it's clear how they take care of, like, duplicate files on their system. I think he was more saying that in the off chance that there wasn't any artists that they had that they sell in iTunes... They would just take your file and upload it to iCloud,
and then you would have access to it
from the cloud.
Like that way, you could still download it to multiple devices.
But behind the scenes, yeah, file like deduping at the SAN level, it's likely that that's going
to
happen.
It'd be interesting to see. I mean, obviously, they've already got grace from all of the main labels, anyways. So I'm sure they're like, whatever.
I think the thing that I wonder about is how many people will go back to pirating after this. I mean, if you download an album, even no matter what the quality, iTunes is going to give you their copy, and then you can just download that. I mean, you're paying $25 a year, but
I mean, I think if you're going back to pirating and then you're like submitting it to a cloud service, I mean, I would take extra precaution, because now you're kind of putting a name and face to who has ownership to that file, and if they start seeing like multiple
they had a Q&A with Apple. They said that they will not give, they will take info, they will know, like, let's say they will know there's 50,000 copies of the new Foo Fighters CD floating around, just for an example. Obviously, there's probably more than that, but whatever. So they'll know how many, but they won't say, Randy has all of this music. They won't give it to anybody, so the RIAA isn't going to come knocking on Randy's door saying, I don't think you've paid for any of this. Not that he's would have not paid for it, he pays for all his music, but just for the off chance that, you know, pirates are worried, they said they would not give up user data.
Yeah, that was the one thing I thought about, like, when I started uploading my stuff.
They will
to Google.
take analytics from what people have uploaded, but they won't say this person has this in their library. They'll say, you know, we have 50 million users with this song. They won't say it's this user, this user, and this user.
And it's not that it's this song, but when all of these songs start matching the exact same properties, you know, like, it, because every, I mean, if me and you have a CD, you know, say it's new Foo Fighters, and you rip it to yours and I rip it to mine, they're going to have different, I mean, everything's going to be different even though it's the same file.
Because they hash your name to it when you rip it.
Exactly.
Right.
And so, yeah, so it'd be like once they start seeing, oh, Pat has this hash. Why does Mike have this hash? Why does Randy have this hash? So it'll be interesting
but
to see.
I don't think that'll matter at all.
I don't know.
So
it's cool though. I think it's awesome.
And I think especially for there are people that have bought a lot of. I mean, I thought 500. I thought, how did that even happen? I bought 500 songs from iTunes.
But it's just a dollar here, a dollar there.
Right. It's over the course, and it's been over the course of 5 years, longer probably, really, 10.
It's still kind of sickening, though, that you can be like, okay, well, I spent close to $200, $500 here on just music. Where you're like...
Yeah, and I know there have been moments where I have just gone a little bit crazy and just like, oh, it's so easy to just click and it just charges my account.
It's kind of like playing poker. Oh, it's just chips.
Right. Just like Amazon, I just click the button and it shows up at my door. One-click shopping. Worst idea ever.
Not for Amazon.
Right.
That's funny.
So, all in all, though, I think I'm a fan of the iCloud, personally. I mean...
You haven't even used it.
Well, I do use it, though. I can re-download my bot music already.
I can re-download my apps.
I bet if you make sure you have your iTunes updated, I bet you can, at least on your computer. And right now, the other thing is, I can download an app on my phone. Oh, I bought an app on my computer on iTunes the other day, and it automatically pushed it to both my phone and my iPad, and it just loaded them on there. Because I just wanted to test it, so I just found a free app, and it works. I mean, it just works.
It is 10.3.1.
Yeah, I think that would be what you need.
Get the old
and
install.
I didn't look exactly on iTunes on my computer. I guess I could bring it up right now, but yeah, it was. I mean, on my phone though, I could just go into my purchases and there it is.
That's nice. Good though, because that's what I was complaining to you about. Like, if you download an app, I'm
right.
Like, really? It's gone?
And
what a bunch of
And I've
crap.
Seen a lot of, because now that everybody has access to it, I've seen a lot of reports last night and today saying people are even able to download apps that are not even in the App Store anymore. But if they bought them at some point, deleted them, they've been since either deleted or taken off the App Store for whatever reason, they can still get them too.
Do you think developers will be losing money on this now?
Because people don't have to buy them again?
Yep.
You honestly shouldn't have to anyway if you've already bought it once.
Right.
I mean...
But in this current state, I mean,
if you're not backing up on your computer and you're buying the same app more than once, I think then you can choose to pay them
anyway.
The That's
developer
your own
is,
fault.
Like, hoping that that will happen.
Like, I mean,
residual buys
I don't
from
think
one
it
guy.
Should happen. I think, worst case... I mean, even if you lose... There's no reason you should lose your apps ever. I don't... As long as you're syncing your phone, sync regularly. Just
yeah, right.
I mean, back your stuff
and
up.
And speaking of syncing now, there's wireless syncing.
Yeah, I guess we're segueing into iOS 5 here.
There we go.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about iOS 5. So I like the whole Wi-Fi syncing. I hate the idea that I have to tether my iPhone to a computer somewhere.
Cut the cables.
And Apple's been promoting, you know, these post-PC devices, saying a tablet can take the place of a PC in some cases and stuff. But you open the box, and the first thing you have to do is connect it to iTunes. And, you know, that's not so much replacing your PC if you have to sync it to one.
Exactly. And, like, I mean, I do like the idea that they're kind of, they're taking the laptop out of, the hub and spoke kind of model that they've been going with and putting it on the same plane as...
They're making it another device is what they're doing with it. And
so, I mean, it makes only sense, and it's a great convenience for anyone else. I mean, because primarily, I really don't have a computer that I would consider my own personal computer. Like, I have my work computer, I have a laptop, I have a desktop that's Travis's that I borrow, which happens to be the one that I've synced to the most, but iOS 5, having the ability to do Wi-Fi syncing is just incredible. Like, it conveniences the person that would just have, like, an iPhone or an iPad.
Right. I mean, and I can see iPads replacing PCs for a lot of people. I mean, if all you do is browse the internet, why not?
Yeah, browse the internet, look at your emails, Facebook update, Twitter.
But, I mean, besides wireless everything, there's a lot of other cool features. I mean, they're obviously finally fixing their notification issues that they've been having. I mean, a lot of people think they're kind of copying Android, but I think that, well, obviously they have a good product, so why not copy them, right?
Right. I mean, it makes only sense. I mean, the old notification system that they had in iOS 4 or even previous iOS versions, it was just so obtrusive. It was just, you're in the middle of a game or you're in the middle of a movie and someone would text you, and then there would be this big box that you needed to dismiss. And it would interrupt your gameplay or interrupt your movie. And now that they have the ability, now that they've gave it kind of like a notification center, and then there's this little window up towards the top that like kind of just peels down and then peels back up. Obviously, yeah, it came out in Android, so it was smart for Android to first implement it, but I just think it was, I don't know, it's just so generic and common that it's like,
right,
of course they're going to adopt it.
Right.
I mean, there's some other arguable like features that they added with, you know, obviously there's the camera button at the lock screen, so you can go right instantly in your camera. And then also now that they're allowing you to use the volume up button as a shutter,
right,
and you can say there's an app that, I forget like how it was, like last year or something, it was, mm-hmm, called Camera Plus,
right,
and they use the volume up button, and then it got banned from the App Store because it was modifying the button hardware. I forget like the actual terminology that Mac gave,
but it violated the terms of service essentially, and they took it out, and now they are doing it themselves.
So standing by the rules, cut it out, but then breaking their own rules. So
yeah.
It was one of those things where I read and I was just like, you know what? Yeah, I can understand all that shady, but...
But it's like when you're missing features, it's like... So, I don't know. I understand.
You start making exceptions and it's like, then you gotta start making more exceptions.
Well, it's like when you say, you can't do that, and then they turn around and go, guess what? It's like, that's just dirty. I mean, I hope the original developer got something out of the deal.
I think they're still one of the best-selling camera apps, though. I think they're doing fine for themselves. I think they just took that feature off and continue to sell, but I know they have one of the biggest camera apps still on the app market.
That's cool. But still.
It made it through the first, I mean, because it was like a kind of like an Easter egg feature. They didn't really promote the fact that they did it, they just kind of did it.
And they probably knew, they did that because they knew it would violate the terms of
right.
service.
But
it is kind of shady on Apple's part to be like, oh, by the way, we're just going to nix that from the Apple,
yeah,
change your program, and then we'll just implement it later as like a standard feature in iOS 5. Like to Randy's point, I'm sure maybe they worked out some deal. You know, I mean, if they're a, like a loyal developer of,
yeah,
Apple,
it's just,
and they don't
I
want
hope
to burn
so.
A bridge
I hope
with them.
So, because it's like, come on, don't be a hypocrite. At least give the guy some props.
Right.
Buy him a cheeseburger. That's all I say.
It's kind of a side note, but at the same time, Twitter's been kind of doing the same thing lately. They are implementing their own photo service now, and as there's been many. Well, YFrogs
there's,
and
yeah, YFrog and Instagram
there's another well,
the
you
yeah.
guys usually say is it TwitPic?
Oh, TwitPic. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all the three big ones, and now they're kind of taking over that market and doing it themselves. And the other one now they have just started implementing their own URL shortener as well.
Do you know, have they announced what the domain is?
I think it's just something in Twitter. I know the picture Twitter is just PicTwit. Pick.twit. Whatever. So
it'll be interesting to see what their link shortener is, because I mean it's got to be something like, you know, like there's bit.ly
and tiny URL, right? And it's just, again, it's just kind of biting on the people that have built things for you to help you, and then kind of the whole Apple thing is kind of the same thing, but a little bit off the topic. I guess while we're talking about Twitter, iOS 5 is also going to have Twitter integration built right in.
Posted a that was the picture that I was I'll post a picture, the link to the pick in chat.
Yeah, but they're going to just allow you to do tweet anything, basically, from the, if you have a link, you can tweet it. If you have a picture, you can just send it straight to Twitter. You can, what else? Pictures, emails, whatever. Web links.
So pretty much anything that you can forward on. Phone-to-phone messaging. The new iMessaging.
Right, which is
messaging between.
I think is awesome.
Maybe it's just me. Being partly old school and partly because I'm part of the Android community, but I do not understand the benefit to iMessage.
Well, there will be none for you.
No, but for an iPhone user,
benefit will be. If I only, I don't, because I have friends, most people I talk to have Android. Well, I bet it's pretty 50-50 at this point. But let's just say most people I talk to have iPhones. I could get rid of my messaging rate. It won't cost me SMS messages if I didn't have an unlimited plan.
So it just goes through your data then?
It goes through data, right. And the other thing is I can use it on, they are adding it to both the iPod Touch and the iPad as well, seamlessly. So if I'm on my phone over here and then I put it down, whatever, I'm over here playing on my iPad doing some web surfing, whatever, I can continue the same conversation. It'll keep it on there, and it'll just be one seamless for me being signed into multiple devices.
So is it constantly, say you're here but your iPad is at home, and you're on iMessage, is it still updating to your iPad?
I believe so.
See, that seems ridiculous to me. So you're chewing up battery life, even though you're not using it.
I'm sure you could have it off, and I don't know as far as it being asleep.
I mean, it's new and nobody's used it, basically.
Right. So I don't know if when I open the thing, it'll just refresh everything.
Gotcha.
Or if it'll constantly update when it's not, when it's asleep. Gotcha. Or if it will, but I mean, overall, I think.
So it's similar to, because I had seen a comparison to like the GroupMe, and there was one other.
They will have group messaging in it, so it is kind of, because they said there's a lot of little apps that iOS 5 is essentially killing.
Gotcha.
Like the camera apps we talked about, because we didn't mention, but the camera is also getting more features with cropping, video, photo editing, one touch. Fixing type
red eye removal.
Red eye removal, yeah. Putting a grid on there, and then the shortcut button. But
yeah, and then I heard too that they were doing like a like when your phone's asleep, they have the quick camera access.
Yep,
it's going to be also like a shortcut.
Yep.
Which right now the only other phone that does that is the Microsoft phone, I believe. Windows.
There's the Droid that has. There's a couple Droids. I wish if, Todd had sent me a picture, yesterday, showing me that like which phones had what, and it was I know there was a couple two I think
it's hard Android to keep up with the fragmentation of Android. The other thing that they said about the messaging thing is that it's copying BlackBerry, because BlackBerry users right now have a BlackBerry messaging, which was slated to come out with an iPhone and an Android app soon, so I feel like the iOS one's kind of gonna fall to the wayside, at least for now.
Especially if you can incorporate everybody.
The other right? If everybody started doing it, even with the iOS thing, it's still kind of waving its fingers at the carriers. I mean, you're already paying for data, and why do you have to pay for messaging too? Is essentially what they're saying. You know, why both? It will still. Like, since you have an Android, if I were to message you, it'll still be an SMS. But it's still in the same spot. It just uses SMS when the iOS messenger isn't available.
Right. Yeah, no, I get that.
And then the other things they said that it'll do was, like, read receipts. Kind of like chat. also, like, read receipts, send receipts, like, make sure people receive it, it'll tell you, and if you want to turn on read receipts, you can, so you know that they read them. And then there was, if someone's typing, kind of like when you're in chat, you kind of see the little bubble come before they're typing, the same thing. So, I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, not, we'll see how revolutionary it is. I mean, if everyone had iOS devices, it would kill SMS completely, but mm-hmm. it won't, because half the people I know have Androids anyway, or other phones, I guess, really, not necessarily yep. Androids. I don't think I actually know anyone with a Windows phone or a BlackBerry.
I used to have a Windows phone.
But but people still don't have smartphones, as odd as that is, too.
Yeah.
With broken screens.
Yeah.
What else was in iOS 5? Newsstand, which was whatever, I guess. It's kind of cool if you subscribe to the New York Times or the San Francisco Chronicle were big ones. Or just a regular magazine, but it's just essentially taking them all and putting them in one place for you, kind of like iBooks, which...
Right, and then...
Who really uses that either?
I mean, I think the other thing we didn't talk about is that they're now going to be incorporating incremental updates, Delta updates. Right. So instead of having one big file that you have to download, you can just do over-the-air updates now with iOS 5.
I think a huge part of the reason they're pushing the Delta updates is to keep the carriers okay with them doing over-the-air updates in general, because it's a lot... smaller of an update. It also eat less of your data.
How big were the updates, like, when you went from, say...
I think I read today that someone was writing that they were, like, 400 megs? That
yeah,
area?
So you figure, I mean,
if
I
you have
many,
2 gigs,
yeah,
that's
a huge like, chunk.
All right, I'm updating in February.
and even so, I mean, you're still... I mean, I'm on Wi-Fi with my phone most
right.
time anyway, but,
yeah.
I mean, that's not really the point. So, it might be...
Yeah, it just makes more sense. I mean, if they're only changing, like, a small aspect of the operating system, why have to re-download the rest of it, you know?
Yeah, why do you have to re-download everything you already have, plus
right.
these two small little changes, because they turned out they were tracking us, and now they're going to turn the cache off. I mean,
right.
whatever, right? So...
I think that pretty much covers everything in iOS 5 that I can think of at this moment. We can maybe talk about the data center.
In the picture.
Oh, I know.
In the picture that I had posted in chat, I'll just run through like a couple of the key features that they talked about. Some of these we already talked about. So there's the unified notifications, the phone to phone messaging, newspaper, magazine subscriptions, advanced reminder system, which I'm not sure what.
Ooh, I actually will just talk about that real quick. I'm pretty excited about that. It's basically a to-do list, but the coolest thing is the geotagging. I can set it to, let's say, me and Randy didn't live in the same building, and I was going to Randy's house, and I needed to borrow something from him. I can set it to, when I arrive or when I leave said location, to give me a reminder.
Oh.
So, like, as I enter, it'll
set...
So
it's like they explained it, on crack.
Yeah, they explained it as entering a fenced area, like a geofence around a certain location.
That's pretty cool.
Or like when you leave somewhere, you can set it to, hey, when I leave my house, I need to remember.
Get the groceries or...
Call my wife or whatever. Right. I mean, that was one of the examples I saw. I mean, you know, like just weird little things, but I think there's a lot of cool things that you'll be able to do with that.
That sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That actually does sound really sweet. The system-wide Twitter integration, quick camera access, photo editing tools, tabbed browsing, which, so
oh.
there's no tabbed browsing in iOS?
Right now it's kind of like...
Or is it just like,
you have pages.
It's like pages
yeah.
right now,
okay.
but they're actually putting the tabs on the top so you can kind of flip through things, and they showed it being a lot faster as well, so that'll be nice. And then while we're on the iOS thing, probably the next thing you're going to read is the reader.
Yeah, reader view.
The reader view is pretty exciting too. It's already on the Safari on my desktop, which I don't use a lot, but it is pretty cool. And I think with the Lion there also adding the save to read later, which killing another app, Instapaper. But they're staying positive from what I read. but it's reader essentially takes a website and makes it in a paper format for you to read, so that it takes away all the distractions, the ads on the side. It puts it all in one solid page format, so it looks like a Word document, basically. And you go about, you can read it, and then You can add it later if you need to. And you can make a list of things that you want to read later. You don't want to read it all right now. You can kind of save the bookmarks as the reader.
Interesting. That sounds cool. The other thing, there's four more things they had. Rich text email.
Which is adding, essentially, underline, bold, and italics. As far as
really,
I know. I don't know what else is involved
really
in rich
iOS,
text.
You didn't have underline, bold, and italics.
That's interesting, because, like, some of the HTML emails that I receive on, like, my Exchange email, I mean, they're there.
Well, I think you can get it, but I think this is sending.
Oh,
so you
sending
can
part
send
of it
as...
Yeah. Okay, never mind. Then, yeah, that makes
it
sense.
It seems like
because
one of
it
the most
much
basic
plain
it really does, but it's...
I mean, it is
what it is. That's
neither,
what I got out of it.
Neither here nor there.
All right.
PC free setup updates. So that would be the over the air.
Over the air updates. It also, it'll wirelessly sync with your, it'll back up your whatever every night when you plug it in as well. And you can also hook up to your iTunes wirelessly. So, which won't really matter anymore because you'll have the cloud anyway. But if you didn't want to pay the $25 for the music match, you could wirelessly just download from your computer to your phone. You just always would have to have your computer and a wireless network.
Right.
But essentially, same idea.
At least, yeah. At least you can.
Avoiding the $25.
Then, Wi-Fi sync, which we touched on a bit, and an online gaming community.
They already have it, but they're updating it more.
So is it similar to, like, the Words with Friends, Chess with Friends?
They have a thing called Game Center. You make a username, whatever. They're adding a point system to it, similar to Xbox Live achievements, is the direct comparison I can make to it. I don't actually know if PlayStation has a similar thing, but I'm sure they do. They're adding, you can download games from it now instead, where it also suggests to you games and suggests to you people that play similar games, so you can add them to your friends list. It's kind of like Xbox Live for the iPhone.
Gotcha.
They already have it, but they're just making it better, essentially.
Okay.
More user-friendly.
Yeah, those were the main things that they used to compare iOS 5 to Android to Windows Phone
and BlackBerry.
The BlackBerry 7 OS.
The other thing, kind of incorporating the cloud into the phone, they're killing Mobile Me, and they're making it free, which used to be $100 a year. They're making it free. They're, you know, the iCloud. They're gonna back up all of your contacts or emails to appointment emails, and your calendars, those three, and then they're going a step further. They're doing the pages, the numbers, and the docs. They're basically their, you know, Word.
Right.
They're processing.
And
apps.
They're also, I mean, any photos that you take. That are part of, like, PhotoStream.
PhotoStream is what they're making. When you take a picture now, like, for me, again, I have an iPad and a phone. It'll also put it on my computer, so I don't have to sync. All three of them will, as soon as I take a picture on my phone, it'll automatically put it on my iPad and my computer, which is something I am looking forward to, because I hate having to sync to put my photos back onto my computer. And it'll keep 30 days worth of the photos and up to 1,000 pictures on your thing. They are making it available for developers to use the cloud as well. They're releasing the SDK for it. Is that what it's called? SDK?
Yeah, right. Yep.
And so people will be able to start putting that into their apps. They could build in a cloud aspect into their apps. So you can save between, if you have a game on both, let's say on both your iPad and your phone, if you're playing the same game, it could keep them up to date, potentially. I think there's a lot more involved in that. I know they said they're giving you 5 gigs free, and that doesn't include music at all or your photos. It's simply just the docs and your emails, which your email is only with a Mobile Me account, like a Me address, not all of your emails, but those sync anyway.
It's incredibly generous is what it... You know, I mean, they built a whole data center for this whole cloud
service. Well, they have three data centers now. They just built the third one.
So is it...
They already had two before that. Okay. The North Carolina is actually the third, they said.
So they've added another 500,000 square foot data center.
Which is, it looked pretty...
Augment what they already have.
It was impressive looking.
Did you see the picture of when they showed the inside of the server rooms there? Mm-hmm. Like, just, I mean, it looked like it was a solid, like, maybe 7,500 foot long hallway. It was, and both sides were just sexy looking servers.
Right. It looked awesome.
As, yeah. For you non-geeks out there, I know it's hard to believe that servers can look sexy, but I promise you, they did.
Indeed, they did. But yeah, I think that pretty much covers Apple in a nutshell.
Yeah, I don't know. For a non-Apple, I mean, the iOS stuff is, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of, it's not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not trend setting, it's catching them up to where they definitely need to be.
Right. I think as far as catching up, I think it enhances the features that it should have had already anyway, but I think they do a good job with it, but I think a lot of the things should have already been incorporated.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, before. I think it's a little bit of both, where, like, I understand there's some features where, you know, they kind of copycat, you know, just select different mobile devices out there, but I think the cloud service, I mean, is like, there's like Windows 7 and there's Android features, BlackBerry, that are being incorporated now in the iOS version, but, you know, I think the cloud service is actually kind of giving it more of a leap, more, you know, I mean, it's different. I mean, it's obviously Google and Amazon had their first stake in it for a while now, but they're taking a different approach.
I was getting crap from Todd at work because he was saying, you know, what do you think about iCloud after they did the WWDC? And I said, I'm excited for it. I can't wait to try it. And he's giving me crap because he thinks I'm a traitor. And it's like, these are, like, I mean, the fact that I can link a song versus upload a song is the feature I want.
I mean, because it's awesome that it can put 20,000 songs free from Google right now. And, I mean, it said free for now. I don't honestly know if they'll ever charge or what'll happen with it. Well,
and who knows how long they'll stay in, quote, in the air beta.
Right. You know. I mean, but it is taking me forever to upload my music.
It
kind of makes me crazy.
I'm not gonna lie,
but
it is extremely nice, though. When I go to work, today was the first day I brought my iPod in because I got some new music that I just haven't uploaded yet. But it has been so nice to not have to bring my iPod in. I mean, not that it takes all that much work to bring it, unhook it from my car, but the fact that, I mean, I've got two PCs at my desk, and the fact that I can plug my headphones into either one and just go play, and it's my music, you know,
it's a huge convenience.
Yeah. It's good all around. And all of these stream, I mean, between Amazon, Apple, and Google, it's going to be nothing but better for us, the consumers.
The competition is going to make things good.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll breed them to be more competitive with each other and offer us better deals, so.
Yep.
Keep it up.
Exactly.
Definitely. Fight it out. So, do we want to transition now over to E3? Do you want to talk about E3?
Heck yeah.
I think we're kind of approaching the 1 hour mark here.
I don't. Yeah, we're getting close.
Oh, we are,
yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah.
Holy crap. Ah, freaking Apple. So. All right. Well, I streamed E3 on Monday and Tuesday. I listened, not the whole thing. I just wanted to listen to what Microsoft had to offer. Since they just came out with Kinect within the last year, I wanted to see if they were going to be building on it. There was also rumors that they were possibly going to be putting out a new console as well. And I thought that would be interesting. So I listened to Microsoft, and then Nintendo also announced a new console. Microsoft, they didn't have anything new to say about a console. They are building upon Xbox 360 and the Kinect, and all games being developed basically going forward are Kinect-based. The one that stands out to me was the new Star Wars game, and there were certain hand motions that you could do that would make, you know, draw your, well, it's motion sense, Kinect is motion sensored and sound activated, so it worked on listening to you and also what you did. So, like, this guy pulled out a lightsaber and they're showing the live, you know, demo of what he was doing in game, and it was extremely impressive. It's still early development with the Kinect. I mean, it's still new technology. So, I mean, to me, it seemed like, I mean, coming from the PC world, it seemed very auto aim ish. I mean, they were showing right. it, and it was, you know, this, he had his lightsaber out and he just sort of swung in the air. It would be more impressive if you could sort of, you know, I'm aiming
if
to
it can mimic you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's new technology, and it's very responsive and impressive.
Right. I think, I mean, how it's going to compare to the other Star Wars games, I'm not really familiar with too much beyond like the Unleashed series. I mean, I'm a big fan of like Star Wars Unleashed 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those were huge. Like, I love those games to death. But I mean, going to like Star Wars Kinect, I think as like a former Unleashed player, I'm going to feel like I'm a little bit held back, because if it's just like, if it's auto aim and you're just swiping all day,
yep.
I mean, you're not going to get you're not going to have like the agility that you had in like Unleashed 1 and 2, where you can, you know, jump around, do some somersaults and bounce from here
yeah,
to there.
Yeah, I know there were certain actions you could do to make your character do like flips and lunges around, but I mean, so it's a learning curve also involved
right.
with it.
I mean,
you know, it's kind of like the up down left right, you know, AB select start. It's one of those things you just have to learn them.
Right. But I mean, as having like a good entertainment value, as like Unleash 1 and 2 did with a complete controller, I don't think it's going to compare. I think it's going to probably maybe stand out on its own, being like, you know, this is something that's revolutionary. We're, you know, incorporating motion and sound into a game. But are you going to get the same entertainment value out of it? I don't think so.
It's like when the Wii came out, it was the same thing. I mean, everyone was like, well, that's taking... I mean, it's changing the way you play, but I liked the way we played before. I mean, like, I liked just sitting with a controller. I mean, why do I have to do all this work? It's
right.
not what gamers do, but but it turned into a huge family hit. It turned into a huge party environment hit. And I think the Kinect is just building on that more than anything.
Yeah.
Sony has the same, similar thing, but I don't think it's nearly doing what either
of
these two are doing.
That's what, I don't want to steer away from Microsoft too much yet, but I know that's one thing that Nintendo had announced when they announced their new console, that they want to not gear, they don't want to gear towards hardcore gamers. They don't want to gear towards casual gamers, just casual gamers either. They want to involve everybody. You know, they want to get a little bit of every party. And I think that's what PlayStation brought in their, what I forget what their motion
I don't know
sensor
either.
Is called.
PlayStation Eye or something.
but I mean, this was, the Kinect was Xbox, Microsoft's way of getting involved in the motion capability, and people love it, because you can, I mean, it's fun for kids to do it, and it's fun for, I mean, it's just fun, everybody enjoys it. Even, I can see my mom wanting to play the Xbox with a Kinect. You know, she had a blast just playing with our Wii when we brought it up there, so...
Right. I mean, it has its place with, like, certain games. I'm just thinking, like, if you're, like, the hardcore gamer,
mm-hmm.
and you're gonna go play the Star Wars Kinect game, you might be a little bit let down.
It was interesting. They were showing a preview for... Gosh, was it... I think it might have been Halo that they were showing.
Ghost Recon?
Oh, you're right. It was Ghost Recon. It was Ghost Recon. They were showing, like, it was all no controller. It was all Kinect based, and they were showing like how they did the gun switching, like just creating like your own character profile sort of, and creating your own guns to gameplay, you know. And this guy was standing up on stage, and he's kind of hunkered down, and he's like acting like he's got a gun drawn to his shoulder, and it was interesting, because, I mean, he had, like, one action that he did with one of his hands that was to, like, shoot the gun, and there was one, like, you reach over your shoulder, and that pulls out the gun, and there's one, like, you reach to your side, and that's reloading your clips. So, I mean, I feel like if people want to get into sort of a realism of gaming, it, I mean, it's early for being early technology for something like this. It's a good step to start getting into that type of stuff.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see how long it is before a game like that is actually available, because I don't think, I mean, that's not available now, is it?
Ghost Recon?
Yeah, I mean, that's like beta still, maybe? I mean, I don't know.
Ghost Recon with Kinect is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's Ghost Recon games.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, just the not having, I mean, using your motion for everything.
I mean, don't
you? So I just looked it up, and it's from Ghost Recon Future Soldier, so it's a very proper name for a Kinect-based game, and its beta starts in 2012, and they're shooting to have it quarter one of 2012, so that's a whole another 6 months.
No, yeah, so, yeah.
I guess it'd be interesting how they
For beta.
For like a first-person shooter, how they manage motion and like aiming and targeting, like... Yep. Without having some type of...
Well, see, and that...
You know...
And that's just it.
Stick that, to adjust your view.
With that, I go back to the whole semi-auto-aiming, and that's what really bugged me about it, is it's still very, like...
They have to make it like, playable.
Twitchy, right.
They have to make for people to be able to actually use. I mean, without... that. I mean, with some certain... degree of error involved.
I almost feel like they need to go back to when the Nintendo came out, NES, when they did Duck Hunt, I always wondered, like, how does the gun know where I'm shooting, you know? And I ended up, you know, a couple years ago looking it up, you know, just question that bugging me in the back of my head. So I looked it up, and, you know, the screen goes white, and where the duck is actually turns into a black dot. And then the inside the gun is basically like a little...
A motion sensor.
A camera, and it reads, it picks up on that dark dot on a bright white screen. And it's like, it would be interesting, like, I feel like if they could come up with that technology in, what, 88?
Yeah, like, somewhere around there. Why don't people use that?
I feel like it's still a legitimate thing. Like, I would love to play a current game with...
Duck Hunt.
Like
2012,
or even like think of like say Ghost Recon, something where like you're a sniper, but like, where you can have a gun and you shoot. I don't care if the screen flashes.
Well, they have uses of the Wii that way, kind of.
Right,
but like they redid Resident Evil 4, where you could use the perfect shotgun in conjunction with the nunchuck directional pad as your like your movement, so you could have like the aiming, you know, with the gun, and then you can still move your character.
Yeah, because I feel like there's something to be said joystick. Like about holding something in your hand and being able to like sort of freely point it. But, you know, say I'm facing to the my body's like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like facing to the left of the screen, I can point the gun and shoot, you know, like, and it's going to recognize, you know, I don't want to have to face my body in a certain direction all the time. Or if I want to lay prone on the floor and be sniping people.
I mean, it's
sometimes
cool that
you just want to lay on the couch and shoot. I mean, whatever.
Exactly.
I mean, it's cool that they're incorporating all these motions and stuff to, you know, to do what you would normally do with just a regular controller. But I think in the end of the day, like Ghost Recon is going to have a gun. Like, yeah. I think that's going
to
happen.
It goes back. Well, if you really wanted to play, go play paintball. I mean, if you want a gun, you want to go through it. If you want to play video games, I just want a controller.
You can't storm
I just want
a building,
to sit on the couch.
Mike.
I don't want to have to work at it.
Gotcha.
I
I hear you.
I mean, I the technology is amazingly cool. I agree. And the hacks that have come out for people doing stuff with it, I think, are super cool. And
the hacks that I've seen are insane.
I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's a cool technology, but for gaming, I was fine with the controller. Like, maybe that's just me, but I mean, there's definitely fun. I mean, the Wii is fun. In large groups, I think, is especially when it's the fun. I mean,
yeah. Nope, but I hear you. We should probably speed things up a bit. Don't
we
care.
We can edit most of this.
Oh, I feel like we've been on track for the most part pretty good.
It's only been all of our other ones are hour 15. We got 15 minutes.
We'll
just talk about the Wii U.
Yeah. So, thanks for burst in that one.
Get it out.
Just kidding. So Nintendo, so that was Microsoft's big thing, was they're developing the Kinect. All their games coming out basically are going to be Kinect supported. Nintendo, theirs was Tuesday morning for the E3 conference. It was 11 a.m. Central. I watched PlayStation, I watched Xbox or Microsoft, and then I watched Nintendo. And it was Nintendo came out with the biggest bang because they started. I mean, their stage setup was very basic. They didn't have anything fancy, except they had a full orchestra up front.
A symphony.
Yeah, it was awesome. And they were talking about the fact that this year is the 25th anniversary for the start of Zelda. So they are doing a 25th year remake of the original Zelda for the Wii, and it'll also be available on the Wii U. So part of the orchestra's thing being there was they kicked it off with the original Zelda sound or theme song, and then they were playing like some of the sounds that you would hear within Zelda. So it was pretty cool. their new system they announced will be the Wii U, which I was hoping for. I was honestly hoping for something a little better. I just expected something.
There were rumors going around right before that it was just gonna be called Nintendo, like not. I mean, and it's still possible they changed the name entirely. I mean,
well, it's yeah.
They do what they want.
They had
really.
Workable. They had playable demos, but none of them were confirmed games. They were all basically
ideas.
Not even beta. Yeah, just
their ideas.
Just ideas.
They had, I think, a few games that were able to play. Like one was called Me Chase, which, well, I guess let's start a little further back. The console looks kind of like a fatter Wii, but not quite confirmed that it was actually a working model or if it was just a case that the hardware wasn't quite in because they had it locked up. The big thing is the controller. Has a 6.2 inch touchscreen. Basically squashed in between what would have been like a GameCube controller or a 64 controller, kind of two handles with two joysticks. I mean, you have to hold it with both hands, but it's got a camera on it, a mic on it. It's motion censored. I mean, some of the ideas they had for it were phenomenal. I think there'll be a lot, and I think games that will be made on it, I think people will find very, very creative ways to use it. I mean, they showed it as they can shut the TV off and just, it has to be streaming from the Wii U, but it's not a portable game. It's just streaming from the Wii U. But the TV could be off and they had the game on the screen. It will be backwards compatible with the Wii games, but not the GameCube games.
And all Wii stuff, basically.
And all, yep, the Wii remotes, the surfboard thing, balance the, board, whatever.
Yeah,
for
the Wii
like,
Fit.
Yeah, the Wii Fit and whatnot. It'll all work. But they showed like a few different things. They showed was like holding the touchscreen as the scope for a gun. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yep.
They showed them put it down on the ground and you could see like a golf ball in the sand.
Yep.
And that was what you were golfing. You're golfing with the Wii remote, but you could see the ball on the ground on that touchscreen. They showed a video conference. But they just showed that in the video. Like, they never actually showed it used. There's a few different stylus-based games. You use a stylus on it to write more detailed stuff.
I showed, like, the picture drawing of Link.
Right.
I saw that one.
But,
like, an artist rendition.
Which kind of brings us back to the Wii, or the Mii chase game, which was, like, one person was kind of, like, being chased by the group of the rest of the people. And the one person had the main controller with the screen on it, and they could see a view of, like, it was like a maze. And everyone else was trying to catch this person, like, three people against one type of game. And the one person could only see on their screen, so they could control where they were going. But everyone else couldn't see, and so they had to communicate outside, which, again, plays to the party aspect that I think the Wii really hits big on, is, again, a lot of people. And they showed some Mii battle games, which were kind of similar, like three people against one, and the one person would always be the one with the main controller, mm-hmm. seeing a slightly different screen, perhaps, or an overview of a different map, or having more details than perhaps the other team did, to an extent.
Yeah, I think the one that I saw was if they were playing Mario Kart, that the person with the Wii U controller, they could see an above map of the entire map that you were playing on, and you could see where other people were located.
Right. Instead of just a little blip on the top left corner of your screen, perhaps. Or, yep. I mean, I think the multiplayer potential is great. I think, like, the things like using it for a sniper scope, or, like, we go back to the Dreamcast, Madden, that you could use to see your plays on it. Right. I mean, that way you wouldn't have to show everybody your plays, which, I mean, there's people do, but... I mean, I think there's a lot of potential for it. The hardware, though, I mean, they showed a bunch of screenshots when they announced it, and then later admitted that, oh yeah, we cut PS3 and Xbox 360 games in there because, well, we don't have any games yet. What did you want us to use? We just want to make a cool video. Which seemed kind of odd, but...
Well, I think my perception of them doing that was... I think they were looking to see how people were reacting to it, and I don't think they have anything in a solid development yet for hardware, since they're not planning on coming out till the end of next year still. End of 2012 is when they plan to start selling them. But I feel like they're going to be like, oh, people reacted well to this, they didn't like that, so it still gives them time to do some minor tweaks to it.
Right. I was reading one review and they said that, you know, they got up close with the Wii U, but they had it in a locked container and they could see a mouse behind it somewhere, like, and or there a mouse cursor showed up on the screen at one point when it froze. Like, essentially all they were using the hardware for was a reset button, masking the fact that there was more going on. Perhaps it was run by a computer, perhaps they haven't fit all the hardware into it yet the right way. I mean, it's really pre-release. I think they just wanted to announce something. Yeah. I think they wanted to make sure that they're first on the scene. I mean, the graphics are only going to be as good as the current generation 360 and PS3. Not that Nintendo's ever been one to push graphics, necessarily. Yep. They've always been more concerned about gameplay, which, I mean, is obviously the most important thing, in my opinion. I mean, look at Farmville. The graphics on that are horseshit.
Yeah, oh, but definitely.
But it draws people in that, like no tomorrow.
Yeah, that was another thing I meant to mention. Speaking of Farmville... with Microsoft, another thing they announced was they're updating their Xbox Live splash screen, which, big whoop, but they got permission now. They will have YouTube integrated, and I doubt any either of you two play, but they got exclusive rights to Minecraft, which...
Oh, that will be nice.
Is humongous. I mean, it's like... For those of you who don't know what Minecraft is, it's like a MMORPG online that's...
8-bitty?
Yeah, it's very 8-bit. It's very blockish. They
build your world.
Yeah, you can basically do whatever you want. And the developers had said basically that their plan was they wanted to make a good game and not focus on graphics. And it's been a huge, huge hit the last... couple years, but it'll be available via the Xbox 360, which will be sweet because I think that'll open it up for a lot more people to start playing too.
The other thing Microsoft announced with the Xbox is that they're going to try to, they're supposedly bringing live TV to it this fall.
Oh, I did hear that.
Apparently that service has been also available in Australia and other countries.
Currently it's available in Australia only, I think.
Is it only Australia?
Okay. Maybe Europe, but I know it's in Australia. The big thing I think they're waiting on right now is a provider.
Comcast.
I'm sure it'll be... I wouldn't doubt it at all if that it was Comcast. But,
yeah.
But, and then, I mean, then you get into, will it matter who you're... ISP is, I mean, if will you only be able to get it if it, Comcast is brighter, if you have Comcast?
I don't think it'll matter.
I don't think it will either, but I mean, you gotta wonder, though. I mean, because they're going to be providing it for everyone, but...
Yeah, since it's IP-based and there's this whole...
But I think that's kind of crazy. I mean, I think it's a cool idea, concept. I think it's something that I would check out for sure.
Definitely.
And then Sony put out a TV, their own PlayStation TV, 3D graphics, yep. And supposedly going to be able to have two people seeing different screens.
I didn't do any reading on it. I just know what I had heard from another podcast I listened to, and they had said that it's basically going to be based on viewing angle. So, you know, if Pat's sitting on the left side of the couch and I'm sitting on the right, we can both watch one separate thing. And one of the things that they had brought up is, well, what if you're sitting in the middle of the couch? Are you going to have, like, ghosts kind of images where you can see both screens?
Are you going to have seizures from the headache?
Yeah. So it'll be interesting.
Infants can't stare at it.
it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I haven't looked too much into it either. The funny thing, just to mention quick, is we were talking about whatever PlayStation's motion capture is, and so I was going to Google it. I put in just PlayStation in the top five things that came up. For PlayStation Network down, blog, store, and PlayStation Network back online. That just amused me, and so I thought I would share that because, yeah, that's funny. They're constantly getting hacked.
I know on a couple of the... Well, I know on Dig.com, every once in a while, like, one of the top stories that'll pop up is, like... Like, you know when, or Google has the predictive search for you, like, what are you trying to search? If you start searching how, you know, it'll come up with the first five reasons. Well, they always have, every once in a while, like, funny ones will come up, like, if you type in, how do I, you know, and one of them's like, how do I wipe my butt, or something like that. They're really funny, though. I'll see if I can find some of those and post them on our blog, just for... kicks.
How do I find my IP address? How do I take a screenshot?
Yeah.
How do I get a passport?
You're pretty funny.
Is this like a...
How do I look? Is it top how?
No, it's just part... You know how Google has a like, predictive search? Like, when you start typing, it'll type ahead.
The things that most common come after that.
I gotcha.
Like, okay. So the things most people look up.
And some of them are just hysterical. But... I think that's it, though. Pretty much. I mean, that's basically in a nutshell. Oh, do you want to talk about IPv6 quick? IPv6
sure,
day?
Throw it out there.
You can just throw it out there. I mean, most people know if they're following...
If they're nerds.
If they know, they already know. But
they're aware. Yeah, no, IP version 6 is basically just a test of using the IP version 6 addressing scheme. On a wide scale on the internet. So a lot of companies aren't running like a dual stack environment where they can, you know, they can be reachable by IP version 6 or IP version 4. But some of the bigger companies like Google, Facebook, you can notice, you can actually look it up to see which companies are running IP version 6 by just looking up their quadruple A record. And just typing their host name. But yesterday was a day dedicated to testing it at a wide scale, and as most people notice, nothing, which is an awesome achievement, just to show that IP version 6 and IP version 4 can transmit over the same internet network. I think that's a positive thing, that's something that we can switch to. But it's something that's years down the road. A lot of people, a lot of their CPE equipment, a lot of their just routers.
What would be a project for each company, basically?
It is. I mean, it's a transition. It's a migration. And everyone knows that works in IT that migrations are, they can be sometimes a bitch. But yeah, even for just like the home user, like most entry-level routers that you get are not going to be IP version 6 compatible. So you'd have to go buy a new router. But... I mean, it's good that companies are being proactive and they're noticing that, yes, we are running out of IP addresses, IP version 4 addresses, even though they're not necessarily used, they're still being allocated.
Will they be keeping, like, is there some day where they'll finally turn off IPv4?
I guess it's uncertain as to...
Or is it going to run kind of intertwined?
They were saying... I think it's still kind of uncertain how they're going to transition, but what they were trying to say is I was trying to remember that you can go from IP version 4 to IP version 6, but you can't go from 6 back to 4. Is the kind of the
kind of like how a square is a rectangle, but a rectangle isn't a square?
Yep.
Yes. For those that get that. But yeah, no. I think, like I said, it's going to be years down the road because it's going to take cooperation from everyone.
Yeah, no, just brought that up because I think it'd be funny. Like, you know, Facebook was one of the people who had tested it just to verify that everything was good to go. I mean, I don't think they aren't converting yet to IPv6. But it'd be funny if they're like, oh, we've got all of these IP addresses, which I'm sure Facebook is one of the companies that has. I mean, they've got to have a good...
Them and Microsoft and probably Google.
You know.
Has a ton of
that,
subnets, excuse me.
Yeah, so it'd be funny if they said, oh yeah, we've converted and now all of these subnets are available in IPv4. And everybody else is like, oh...
We'll jump on that.
We'll jump on those ones then.
Those are way easier.
You know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the transition period... I mean... I bet we won't see the transition period fully before I hit 80 years old. Honestly.
Will consumers be affected? Will router...
I don't think... Yeah, I mean, at the router level, at their home router level, that'd be affected. But I think since most people lease their modems from whatever provider that they have, I think it's up to the ISP to make the transition. But then, you know, it's going to take some time before... I mean, there already are routers out there that you can get that are, you know, IP version 6 ready.
Yep.
I don't know if they can necessarily run in dual stack mode, which some of the more fancier or more industry routers can, but yeah, I mean, it's going to take a long time just because it is a cooperation effort. It's just, no one can just be the battle axe and be like, we're doing IP version 6 from here on out.
Yeah. There's a site, ipv6-test.com. You can find out what you're running.
Yeah, so...
If you want to check it out.
Check it out. More likely you're not, but...
Yeah, I would say...
Most operating systems are... Most of the newer operating systems have the ability to do IP version 6, so that's covered.
No,
it's just the older...
Vista, I do not know if XP does.
XP, probably not. Maybe if they put an update
maybe
out.
Maybe a patch.
Since everybody's still using XP.
Oh, honestly.
I still use XP.
I know. That's what I have on my PC, too.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Well, yours is understandable.
Yeah.
Pat, come on.
There is no reason to use Windows 7.
Well, except
7.
For that, you're not going to be able to get Internet Explorer updates pretty soon.
Yeah, that's true.
I think on the next one?
Yes.
They're cutting the cord.
Yeah.
Letting you fall free. And,
I have
and
a,
no
I have
more
a
support,
PC
right?
No more support?
Support
after 2013.
Oh, that's still ways out.
Yeah. I have a Windows 7 box waiting for me at work.
Just run Chrome.
Pat.
I just haven't.
It's time.
Who runs Internet Explorer anyway?
It's time.
Let's be honest.
Firefox, Google.
Anyways.
Safari.
Sorry, I won't go off topic. I think that about hits the what we needed though.
I think so.
Excellent. So, should we call it an evening?
Yeah. So, thanks for listening. If you listen now, we do stream live about 8 o'clock central on Thursdays.
Granted,
if you want to listen to us, granted we start a little late tonight, but for the most part 8 o'clock is our goal.
So
about
66.
An hour in length we shoot for. We are now on iTunes working.
Woo-hoo!
So if you want to search for Bleed Geek on iTunes, which I'm sure if you're listening to this you already have more than likely, unless
hopefully
you found it on our website, which go subscribe from iTunes if you want.
Yeah,
that way you get updated.
Yeah, you can. You can check us out online, www.bleedgeek.com. You can follow us on Twitter, @BleedGeek.
Facebook.
Facebook.com/BleedGeek.
If you have a question or a comment.
Ooh.
Yeah, if you have a question or a comment, you can email us at fans@BleedGeek.com. And then Mike is going to queue up the
phone number.
You want to leave
we
us
should
a voicemail?
Probably all know it. It's
it is 406-79-GEEKS or 406-794-3357 in numbers.
406-79-GEEKS.
That's right. We're coming.
But yeah, we got our voicemail set up and everything last week. So if you have any questions, comments, leave us a message.
We potentially would play it on the air for you if it's an appropriate length and question.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, and then you can follow us individually if you're a tweeter. I am at Crandall111.
Which actually does have meaning, as it turns out. I am Mike037.
And I am HammockTime with a Y instead of an I.
Excellent. So that's it for this episode of Bleed Geek. I'm Randy Orvis.
I'm Mike Earl.
And I'm Patrick McGivern.
And stay safe, everybody.
Locked away.
Love apples.
And love apples, yeah. Oh. Hug them.
That hurt.